So let's line up some minties here. It's close enough. You looking to lose a finger? No, okay. All right, I want you to think about last night. Okay, I want you to think what we looked at last night. And that time we had in here. And the first prize is a minty. You know what the second prize is? A minty. And we got 5 minties. All right? So I got a few questions. We looked at a passage of Scripture that talked about not neglecting so great a salvation. Now, if we're not going to neglect our salvation, what are we going to need to do? What was the word we used? If we're not going to neglect our salvation, then what are we going to do? We're going to something our salvation. I'm sick of going with you girls. What is it? To tend to our salvation. Do you want it or can I have it? No, you want it? We got to tend to our salvation. We talked about that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we looked at somebody who Jesus saw. And how Jesus was aware of this person. If you can tell me who it was, you get yourself a minty. If you can tell me where it was, you'll get yourself 2 minties. So, who is it that I might go with? You were pretty early. I don't think I've given you a minty yet, have I? I think, or maybe one. No? Can you give me a name? Nathaniel. And can you tell me where he was? Or does this go to someone else? Oh, come on, it's a minty. You've got to get it. Like, what was it? Was it a plum tree? Was it? Well, hang on a second. Most of these guys up the back weren't there, so I'm going to give them a chance for a minty. Can anyone tell me up the back? I think that was referred to as the old people. Is that right? Yeah, right. Okay. Where Nathaniel was when Jesus saw him for a minty. Pastor Buddy? Under a fig tree. I'll try and get it to you, not at you. Oh, there we go. All right. We looked at how the Bible tells us that God has put all things in subjection under our feet. That we as humans, the Lord has given us dominion over this earth and put everything under our feet. What was the first thing that God said, this is what you got to do with this earth? He said it to a couple of people. They had given them a job. Like, it's a temporal job, you know? Like, they weren't accountants. They weren't lawyers. What were they? They were to do something. And you need to use the words the Bible used for them to do. Look, you were willing to almost lose a finger. So let's see what we've got here. Good guess, but no minty. Wasn't to preach. Yes. To tend the garden. But it didn't say tend the garden. What did the Lord tell us? I give you, can you fix it? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I ran out of patience. All right. Anyone else? They weren't to tend the garden. They were to do, the Bible talks about something else. Lily? No. It's the Garden of Eden. Up the back? No. Oh, the hands went down. Over here. What did Adam and Eve have to do with the Garden of Eden? Not to tender. Can anyone tell me what they had to do in the Garden of Eden? Come on now, over here. You look like you need a mentee. No? I'm getting worried now that I've remembered it wrong. Lenny, do you have it? Oh, who? Who has it over here? To what? To dress it and keep it. Good man. There's yourself a mentee. All right. There is a particular thing that we don't have a subjection over. That we need Christ, our captain. He brought it into submission. What is it that we didn't have under subjection, but our captain brought under subjection? Little fella at the back, what was it? You're the little fella. Yeah. Ooh. So the devil has the power of it, the Bible is what we looked at. And yes, look, I'm about to cut this in half and give you a half a minty. All right? So, you got anything else? I give you a hint. Yeah, that's a pretty good hint. Death. Man. All right. Oh, that one came out of my pocket. I was wondering where that one came from. I've ran out of questions. What did I miss? Have we done five minties? No, because you got two. One, two, three, four, five. All righty. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die, in Christ what? Ooh, I give up here a shot. So? You just want to have a shot at a minty? Yeah, okay. No, not quite. Not. You've already got it. Sam? In Adam all die, in Christ. Come on, I'm giving you a Bible verse. I don't want to give it away for free, Clem. Made alive. Good job. All right. So, that freshened us up on some things from last night. I want you to take your Bibles. Hebrews 2, verse 9. Who can get there? Are you there? Verse 9? 9, 10, and 11. Oh, I don't think you got it. You're up at the side. I don't know, maybe it's just he's taller? You get another shot. I think he might have just... It's hard to call. Oh, you're going to give it up? All right, that's all right. Good man. You know what? Have minty. Right. Come on now. No. You asked amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts. All righty. Yeah, I gotta say, I greatly enjoyed saying no then. I think it was who I said no to that brought the pleasure. So I need you to read Hebrews 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Nice and loud, everyone. Quiet. Nice and loud. Very good. Thank you. You can take a seat. Alrighty. So here the Bible says that it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. I've talked to you about Christ as the captain of our salvation. I've talked to you about as captain, he's also author and creator. He's a finisher. He's a ruler. He's prince. He's prince of peace. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the lord of lords. He's the captain of our salvation. And the Bible says there's a purpose for this. It's to bring many sons unto glory. As a captain, Christ is looking to bring with him. I want us to spend some time tonight looking at the many sons that the captain brings with him. I've spoken to you a lot this week using the term the captain of our salvation. And I'm going to give you the question that I want you to be confronted with tonight, that I want to put in front of you as I preach through this. The phrasing the Bible uses isn't the captain of our salvation, but the captain of their salvation. Now, that means there is a group of them who he is the captain of, and I've looked to use him as, use the terminology myself as the captain of our salvation to try and see that and allow you to see that you can be a part of that group. But the terminology the Bible uses is that he's the captain of their salvation, and the "their" that is spoken of is the many sons that he brings into glory. And just up the back, all you campers, just have a look up the back there. Okay, just look at all them oldies, okay? Especially Zoe, she's getting old. I think there's wrinkles happening here from smiles. But can I just see a show of hands if you are a part of that group who are identified as the "their" in Christ being the captain of their salvation? No, look up the back. You guys don't listen. Even leaders, look up the back. Put your hands up. What? Look at their hands. Their hands. Here's a them. I want you to see, here's a group of them. He is the captain of their salvation in bringing many sons unto glory. And these are the sons and a group of them that he is bringing unto glory, hands down, because I know the muscles are burning and it's starting to hurt. And so here's the question then. The Bible is true. The Bible is true because there's the evidence of it that he is a captain of their salvation. The question that remains that I'd like you to consider is whether you're a part of that or not. Some of you answered. Some of you are just that excited, you don't care what I say. You're just like, yes! And that's good. You know, and you should know. But if you don't know, I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to stop like we did last night. I'd like you to pray just quietly in your heads that God might talk to you tonight about whether he is the captain of your salvation or whether he's just the captain of their salvation. Okay, that you might be able to answer where you stand tonight when it comes to Christ being a captain of your salvation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And dear Lord, I thank you that you came to seek and to save us. And my Lord, as we preach your word and as I bring it forth tonight, I pray that, Lord, we would see Jesus, that we would see you as the author and finisher of our faith. We would hear you speak to our hearts. And I pray, dear Lord, that your Spirit would be at work here amongst us tonight. You'd have your hand upon me. Help me to preach, dear Lord. I need your help. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to the hearts of your children. Speak to your heart, the hearts, Lord, of those that don't know you. And that, Lord, you would have your willing way amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty. So, let's move quick to start with, because I want to slow down at the end. Verse 9 of this passage, the Bible says, "But we see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death. He was crowned with glory and honor that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. But we see Jesus who tasted death for every man by, I'm going to say Callum's, but I know there's a lot more hands in the pot than just Callum's, but by Callum's good grace, we tasted some dinner tonight, right? He was gracious in cooking a nice meal. Praise the Lord for a nice meal. Wouldn't have been nice if he served up dirt, would it? Here's a plate full of dirt. But he was gracious and he served up something for us. But did you see what the Bible says here? That by the grace of God, Christ tasted death. Well, that wasn't grace towards Christ. That was grace towards us. The Lord's grace wasn't extended unto Jesus in that instant. The Lord's grace was extended unto us through Jesus, by the work of Christ. He tasted death for every man. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. Are you ready? Romans 3:24. See if you can get Bob. Romans 3:24. Oh, here we go. No, sit down. You turn the page. Yep. Can you keep going to verse 26?
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
The Bible says there, the very first verse that Brother James read out, was being justified freely by his grace. And then right at the end, the last verse, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We see Jesus, that he tasted death for every man, and by the grace of God he tasted every man. And Romans tells us there that we have free access, and the Bible tells that he was justified freely by his grace because of what Christ did. Do you realize it mightn't have cost you personally to be at camp, but it's cost somebody. We didn't go in out The church didn't go down to the supermarket and say, hey, we got a camp on. And the supermarket said, well, praise the Lord, here, we'll give you some food for free. They said, well, break out your card and your cash and we'll help you get the tucker. And somebody paid for it. And your parents paid for it that you might be here. But you get to enjoy it freely, most of you. Maybe some of your mum and dad said, well, if you want to go, you got money in the bank. And that's a good lesson to learn. Nothing wrong with that. But you got something for free because somebody else paid. You can be justified freely by the grace of God because Christ paid for you to be free, to be justified freely. And so the grace of God was extended through Christ that we might be justified freely by his grace. There's no race for Hebrews. Just turn back to Hebrews 2, verse 10. Hebrews 2, verse 10. You'll have enough chance at these verses. I've got a couple more for you. Hebrews 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. It became him in bringing many sons unto glory. All things are his, all things are by him, and it became him in bringing many sons unto glory. It was something becoming of Christ. something that was fitting of Christ, fitting of who He was, who He is, and His character, and His person. And it was becoming to Him to bring many sons unto glory. See, He doesn't just get to glory and go to the Father, "Well, that's me. I'm here on my own." He gets to glory bringing many sons with Him. And it's becoming of Christ to bring them with Him. God desires to bring you with Him into glory. And not just one or two, but many sons. It became Him in bringing many sons unto glory. And you ready? John 12:32. John chapter 12, verse 32.
"And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me."
And I, if I be lifted up. You need Bob. Got to get Bob. Christ said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Alrighty. Mark your place. Do you know what He does? Here's the thing. This is going to be fun because I want everyone. James, could you come do this for me? I need to keep preaching. And I just need to get these out to everybody in the room. All right, sit down. Sit down. These are coming your way. As best as you can. As best as you can, look at me. All right? Now, as they go, now listen up. Listen up. Christ, He drew all men unto Himself. And by doing that, He gave you something. Just as James is giving you something. He's sending something out for you to grab, and I want you to see how excited you are just to get an empty plastic sphere. That's all it is. It bounces. Go to the roof. Rain it down. Hands up if you don't have a ball yet.
Yeah.
No, you only need one. Just one each. Pass them around. Throw them back. Throw them over your shoulder. I need one to each camper. No, you don't have to. No. It's all right if you do. This is taking a little long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does anyone not have a ball yet? Now, I think you can snipe her now. All right, hang on. Everyone sit down. Sit down. I want you to stand up if you don't have a ball. You only need one. Just one. All right, I think we're done. Oh, no, you got a couple here. Alrighty. Now everybody sit down. Now everybody sit down. Mrs. Lucy doesn't have one. I think if you get really close, you could probably line one up. Sit down, everyone. Sit down. That was a little more disruptive than I anticipated. All right. Eyes up the front for me. Thank you, bro. Eyes up the front for me. The Bible says that tells us that when Jesus was on this earth, He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Myself." And He was lifted up. Now, without losing what you just got given, John 1:11. John, oh, Sam's up. Are you there? Verse 11 and 12. Okay, you can sit down. You're not getting bored. We can't even understand. Em, you, Beck, you had it. Sit down, Sam. You can't even read. You had it, Beck. Are you still there? Yeah, stand up and read for us. Yeah, without squeaking. Yep, nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. All right, you get Bob. Where's Bob? Bob's got to go back. All right. See, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And he did just that. He was lifted up and he draws all men unto himself. But back at the start of the book, the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You get a choice about what you'll do when Christ draws you. I gave you all one of these that you might be able to just receive in a little picture a reminder of what God has done when he draws man unto himself. And really, it's a representation of your will, of your choice. Now, if God doesn't draw you, I just want to show you this. If you have a yellow ball, stand up. See, God didn't say, I will draw these ones unto myself. If you have a red ball, stand up with them. Stand up with them. Nor did he say, I'll draw half of them. But he said, I'll draw all. If you have a ball tonight, can you stand up? And what you have is a free will, a choice that God has given you. Sit down for me, everyone, please. Christ said, if I be raised up, I'll draw all men unto myself. But he said, the Bible also says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you remember what it became Christ? It became Christ in bringing many sons unto glory. And you know how you become a son of God? By receiving him. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To be counted as one of his, he must be yours. Slowly go back to Hebrews. We're not racing to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through suffering. It became him to draw many sons unto glory by making the captain, the Son of God, by making Christ, by making his work complete, the position of captain, of perfect and complete through suffering. Last chance for Bob. Isaiah 53:1. Oh, are we there? Isaiah 53. I was just going steady. Just read verse 1 for me. Whom hath believed our report? You know, when you get a report, when someone tells you something, you need to make a choice about whether you believe it or not. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 1 through 5 talks about the group that he came unto, and they received him not. He was despised, he was rejected, and to just get a little stern tonight, there's some of you kids that have been sitting in church since you were small and sitting in camp on and off, and you have despised Christ. He just means nothing to you. It's just an old story that you've never done anything with. You just tread it underfoot. And you need to make a choice about what you're going to do with your will when it comes to Christ. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I want you to see what your captain did tonight, if he's yours. I want you to see what their captain did tonight, if he's not yours. And he acquainted himself with grief so that you didn't have to have grief. He acquainted himself with sorrows so you didn't have to bear your sorrows. He would bear them for you. The sorrows of hell that can pass about us in eternity if we don't know Christ. The sorrows of the judgment of God that fall on us if we don't know Him as Savior. Their captain bore those sorrows and acquainted himself with that grief. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on our captain, the iniquity of us all. Says, we're just like sheep that wander off wherever we fancy to go. We've gone our own way. There is a good shepherd, and we haven't followed that good shepherd. Our natural state is a wild state, a state of just going where we want, when we want, where we fancy. And we walk our own ways and in our own iniquities. And as we forget Christ and neglect Christ and just go where we want and do what we want, do you know what God did? Whilst you weren't thinking about Christ, whilst you weren't mindful of Him as captain of salvation, He laid your iniquity on Him. Your wanderings, your neglecting Him, He laid it on Him. If you know Christ as your captain, think on what He did for you. Well, it'll deepen your love for Him. You'll be consumed with a love for Christ when you dwell on and consider that all that you have done in your error and your sin, that iniquity was laid on Him while you wandered your own way. Without thought, just strolling where you want to stroll. He was a man of sorrows. It was laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10 tells us in the laying of this iniquity on him, the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. That's a striking thought. I want you to think about what happened to Christ on the cross of Calvary. In him extending grace to you and acquainting himself with sorrows, he was flogged and he was beaten. He was hung on a cross when he had done no wrong. He bore that for me. The Bible says that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. You think wickedness doesn't matter? It angers God. And he is impacted by your actions when you walk in wickedness. And so the Lord took your wickedness and the anger that he had towards my wickedness and the wickedness in this world, and what should have been dealt out to you and I, he dealt that wrath out on his Son, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know what Christ did? He took it. He took it for you. That wrath that should have been on me, Christ said, I'll bear it. He didn't deserve it. He had done no wrong. But he loves me. And he loves you. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the parenthesis that isn't in there, he gave his only begotten Son that he might bruise him instead of bruising you. That's why he gave his Son. What's there in the middle of John 3:16 is Isaiah 53. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to carry out what's spelled out here in these passages on his Son, that whosoever believeth on him then should not perish but have everlasting life, because Christ will have borne that wrath for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And you go, you know what? I just don't much care for Christ. I'll sort it out later on. Well, do you know what Christ did? He said, I care so much for this generation of Tablelands kids in 2021 that I'll die for them 2,000 years before they're even born, that I might bear their sins so that they don't have to bear the wrath of God. What a captain. What a captain that steps in front and said, you know what? I'm going to take all the hits so that you don't have to take any. If you'll just trust me. It became him in bringing many sons unto glory. And this is how he did it. This is how he paid. This was the act of love that our captain stepped in and bore. And verse 11 says, He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Talking of the Father, he shall see the travail of the Son's soul and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall justify many. Do you know where the portion of the many are? Those that raised their hands at the back there and said, I'm a part of the there, that it says he's a captain of their salvation. Justify many. Bore the sins of all, but he'll justify many. And do you know what the difference is between the all and the many? That's what's in your hands. The equation that makes the difference between the payment of the sins of all the world and the justification of many instead of all is what God has given you in your hands. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. What are you going to do with the captain? What are you going to do with the captain of their salvation? And not just their salvation, but the captain of the there that have gone on before us, all the saints across history that have put their faith in Christ. What are you going to do with that captain? Verse 12 says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The Bible says, therefore, he will be numbered amongst the great. See, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And when we read through the sufferings of Christ at the end of it, the Bible says, therefore, because of all he did, because he became an offering for sin, and his soul was made an offering for your sins, therefore, he was given a portion with the great. That's how his captaincy was perfected. Because he finished it. And in finishing it, he poured out his soul. No man took it from him. He poured it out himself. He said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. See, he didn't die on the cross because somebody killed him. They desired to kill him, and they hung him there. And by wicked hands he was crucified and slain. But he gave up the ghost. He yielded his life for yours. He poured out his soul. Not only that, he was numbered with the transgressors. He didn't get a state funeral or a state burial as some great captain. He was hung up there with thieves and murderers. Died on a hill that the criminals died on. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Bear the sins of many. It's interesting that he bare the sins of many, carried the sins of many. See, what you do with the captain will determine what you do with your sins. Because if you receive Him, you take Him as your captain, and He takes your sin on Himself and bears your sin. But if you neglect Him, if you reject Him, if you refuse His captaincy, then you bear your sins alone. And you carry them before the judgment seat of God on your own. And your sins are many, and the list is growing. And sadly, to my shame, I still add to my list of sins. And I like to make a habit of saying this about preachers and pastors. And I love your pastor. He is a good man as far as men go. But you know what the Bible says he is? The Bible says he's what I am, a wretch saved by grace. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we think that, oh, there's these godly men and these godly women that they don't do anything wrong. Oh, no, they do plenty wrong. But you know what happens when he's the captain of your salvation? He says, I'll take that sin and I'll bear it on me. That's what your captain does. There's a verse right at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22. We're not racing anywhere. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit, talking about the Spirit of God, the Spirit says, come. Come unto Christ. Come unto Him and make Him the captain of your salvation. Yield yourself to His captaincy and follow Him. But not only the Spirit says come, but the Bride says come. And the Bride talks about the church. The church is often called the Bride of Christ. And so that's why at a camp like this and at church services, and that's why Christians that love the Lord and are part of the body of Christ, they have a task to say, come unto Jesus. And they join with the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart and says, come unto Christ. And the Bride says, come. And the verse goes on to read, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever... will. Whosoever will, let him come. It's not complicated. Christ was lifted up. The Bible says when he's lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him and said, my will is to do the Father's will. To follow the captain of my salvation, and my will is to receive him, and I yield my will to the will of God, and I receive him. And whosoever will, let him come. I've had on my heart to give you something this week. What I wanted to give you was a picture of Christ, a picture of your captain. You've got to choose what side you're going to stand on in your life. And you've got to determine that if you are Christ, what sort of a soldier you're going to be. Whether you're going to be right up there in the front line, following your captain into the heat of battle, wherever he leads, or whether you're going to be way back at the back of the mob, following along, but just hoping nobody sees you in the crowd. I want you to keep one of these. I want you to put it in your bag. I want you to remember that God gave you something. He gave you a choice, a free will, about what you'll do with Christ. He made you. He's going to end you. We looked at that. He made this world and He's going to end this world. He made everything in this world and He's going to end everything in this world. And He said, and I want you to decide what you're going to do with me when I came and acquainted myself with grief and became a man of sorrows and bore your sins. Pastor Buddy, do you ever get lost as to how to end a service? Do you ever get lost as to how to end a service? How to just leave a question that you might hold on to it and finish out? Because I'm asking what the Spirit of God is asking. And I hope you know what your answer is. And if you don't neglect so great a salvation. Don't leave it. Tend to it. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Last I heard, there's a bonfire tonight. I think that's still happening. But do something with this. And you can do many things with this. You can toss it and go, I don't care. And you can do the same with your choice about Christ and go, I don't care. But you will one day. Or you can take this and tuck it away somewhere and go, you know what? I need to choose this day whom I will serve. Because I haven't just heard the preacher say come. I've heard the Spirit of God say come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So, what will you do with that? I'm going to ask you to just take one. I know some of you boys, you're excited about a little plastic sphere, but really, they're not that exciting. Just take one and keep it for me. Can you do that? You're excited to get it. But more than keeping this for me, can you answer the question for God? When He brings His many sons into glory, are you going to be there? You will be somewhere. And are you going to be there with Christ when He brings His many sons into glory? Or are you just going to neglect it and despise it and forget all about it? I think we should finish with a song, but I can't think of a song that'd be good to finish on. I'd have to look over the list, and I don't know half your songs. Did you have a song? Okay. So ask James to pick a song for us. I'll get James to pick a song for us. Ask Abby to come and play. And what we're going to do, we're just going to close out in prayer, close out with a song. And then I'm going to hand over to one of these generals to give us the next set of orders. But as we go on to the next thing after the song, if you need to sort some things with God, don't go down the fire. Go take a quiet seat somewhere. Come and see one of these camp leaders. Come and see me. Come and see somebody that can help you answer the questions you need answered and sort out what you'll do with your will. That's down, bro.